So good morning again, and thank you for being here. Thank you for letting us take some time and introduce those folks to you, and thank you for giving. I appreciate that so very much. That not personally, and because it comes to me or anything like that, it just because it just means that's an area in your life that you're letting go of, letting God have reign in, and that's a big deal. And we're going to kind of talk about that today. We're in this series called Chasing Light, and you know, light brings clarity to things. If you're like me, maybe you're kind of middle age, and you've gotten to that point where your eyes tend to not be working like they used to once work. And I was telling them this morning that I'm like 2 weeks away, probably, it seems, from having to preach in glasses because my eyes are just, they're just getting worse, and it's getting harder and harder to just be able to look at my notes and see what's going on and to catch my, you know, catch my place and all that. And so, but what happens is the dimmer the lights get, the harder it is for me to see. And so they turn the lights up, and it's like, oh yeah, I guess I can kind of still see. Because light brings clarity. Even when things aren't working the way they're supposed to, light brings it in there. And so it's a necessary thing. It's necessary for growth, for life to happen, for light to be there. No plant is going to grow without that light being there. And so so it shines brightest at the source. The sun is the brightest, the closest that you are, or closer that you are to it. And so chasing light for us means that we're to chase after the source of our light. And that's Jesus. And so we want to grow closer to Him and be more of who He wants us to be. And when we do, things become clearer to us. And so last week I told you the story about a wanderer. And I kind of want to share that again for those of you that may not have been here last week. And those of you were going to be like, let's see if he tells it the same. Well, I can't promise that, but it'll be close, okay? So just listen to the story, not for how I tell it different. So there is a wanderer that comes upon a monastery, an old abbey, and he comes up these old dusty walls and old buildings kind of run down and all, and he comes in and, as he walks into the little village inside of the walls, he begins to smell the smells of existence, of life, of cows and chickens and all the things that that would take to just provide for those that live there. And so he comes in. As he comes upon the abbey, the main door, he opens it up, and it begins to reveal this beautiful place inside. But all of a sudden, this little figure comes out, and this is the little lady there that is in charge, and she asks him what he's doing, and he says, "I'm looking for a place to sleep, just for a few nights, a place that I can just lay my head down and rest." And she says, "Well, come with me. There's an old cottage in the back, and if you're willing to clean it up, you can sleep there." And so as they approach it, they notice there are boards on the windows and just dusty, dirty. And so she tells him that if he'll pull the wood off the walls, that if he'll wash the windows, he'll be able to see what's inside so that he can clean it up enough to be able to stay there. So he begins, she sticks a bucket and brush in his hand, but before she walks away, she says something to him. She says, "You know, the ancient saints have identified three things that obstruct light from entering the human soul. Pride, which is a preoccupation with our own importance and our own power. And then lust, a preoccupation with pleasure, especially sexual pleasure. And then there's greed, a preoccupation with possessions, especially money." And just as quickly as she says that, she walks away and is gone. And so the man begins to clean the windows, and as he does, as light is able to permeate the windows and get inside, it begins to reveal just how dirty and nasty and bad it is inside, where the spiders have lived and woven webs, and the dust has settled, and the mice and all those things have just done their damage to the place. He realizes just how bad it is once light gets in. And so the next, as he cleans up and is able to finally lay down, that the next morning the little lady shows up at the door and knocks, and as he opens it, she says, how did you sleep?" And he's like, "Well, it's pretty hard to sleep in a place like this." And she, almost in context, just goes right into, maybe that's why the world is so uptight. They're so hard to get along with because most of them have not had a good night's sleep. Their souls are in disrepair, in darkness. And light has not entered their room. And their souls remain in the darkness. And I think if we are all honest, we've all experienced the windows being a little dirty on us, where light is not permeated in enough on us, and we've kind of found ourselves kind of, you know, far from God and not living the life that He would want for us to. And so today I want us to spend time on the second of those things that the little lady mentioned. The first was pride, and we talked about that last week, the preoccupation with our own importance or our own power. But this week I want to focus on another one, on greed. Greed is one of those things that we all struggle with. And we can say what we don't. We can say that we've mastered it or overcome it or just never had a problem with it. But I can promise you that we've all, in some way, had an issue with greed. It's just one of those things that happens to us, this preoccupation with possessions, especially money. We may be generous people, but we've struggled with this at some point. Everybody has that issue, that little princess that you have. You know, not long after she says mommy and daddy, is going to say mine, right? And his, that little boy, your little boy, his first schoolyard fight is going to be over something that he says is mine, something that he possesses, something, some object. We see it all the time that people are struggling with it. As they get older, it doesn't change. As they get into teenage years, it all becomes, you know, their self-importance and their self-value, it becomes based on labels. Whether it's the labels somebody places on them or the labels of their clothes. It just happens. Then it becomes college age, where all of a sudden the letters begin to roll in. And they're like, hey, look. This college wants me. And you as a parent, you should know it's not them that they want, it's you. Because you're the one that pays the bills, right? Yeah, they may have earned the grades to get in there, but ultimately it comes down to being able to pay to go. And then as soon as the college letters start rolling in, guess what else comes? Those credit card offers. Where it says, you don't have to pay now, you can pay later. Right? And so before long, it's about you can own something now. You can own stuff and you don't even have to pay for it until later. And so those things aren't necessarily greed. Those are big things, you know. Those are life things. But the truth is, it's not that greed is there maybe already, but it certainly is the beginning of the infection. It's the beginning of it happening to them. Greed is one of those things that just begins to incubate and develop, and before long it holds our heart and it holds who we are, and it takes us upon it until the grave. It'll ride us all the way if it can. Greed is something that we have to look at. And let me make sure that you understand that greed is not about possessions. It's about the infection that takes place within us, that begins to get us preoccupied with those things. If it was just about possessions, listen, we could walk out in the parking lot and we could go greedy, greedy, not greedy, 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 not greedy. And the greed or the not greed would all be based on, you know, the 74 Oldsmobile that we drive. You know, if somebody's got something newer than us, oh, they must be greedy. If it's, you know, old and beat up like ours, then maybe they're not greedy. But that's not what it's about. Some of you got some really nice cars, and you've worked really hard, and you own those, and that's awesome. I like new cars. I like new stuff. I was just telling Shane, who works over at the Chrysler dealer here in Stanley County, there's this truck. You know, I had to confess my sin to him because there's this truck sitting over there. The paint on, it looks like it would taste good. It's that shiny and that pretty. Every time I drive by it, I'm like, okay, God, I'd get on my knees, but somebody would run over me here in the middle of the road. because I just want it. And of course, he went and had to go and tell me the MSRP on it, and that totally did away with that want for sure, you know. But we all have it. The things could grab us, but it's not about the things. It's about our heart. It's about where we find ourselves, and it manifests itself in people, not in possessions. I think this is important, that greed, we understand greed is the anger and the entitlement because I have the right to possess. Greed is the envy towards those who have stuff. Greed is the gluttony of stuff. It is the pride of thoughtless spending and big consuming. Greed is the pride of having stuff. Having stuff's not an issue, but it's when we become prideful and our own importance and our own power seems to be displayed in the things that we have, that we find ourselves struggling with this topic of greed. It's important that we talk about it. Why? Because greed destroys our ability to really trust God. It gets in the way of us seeing God for who He truly is. See, I could get stuck on the fact that you are a community church, pays my paycheck, right? But it's not the church. It's not you are a community church. It does. Ultimately, the source of that is not the church. Ultimately, the source of that is God. Wherever your check comes from, ultimately, you need to understand it's not them. It's not that place. But it's God who provides for you. He is your source always. And the moment we begin to look somewhere else is when we can find ourselves working so hard to have things and to make money and to make things for us that we get totally distracted on the really important stuff. Once we begin to look at ourselves and begin to think we secure our future, that we secure what happens next to us, that we find ourselves greedy, then we don't have to trust anyone else, that it's all about what I can do and not anybody else, and it tries to erase God as your source. You think, how is that possible? Well, it happens. It happens to all of us. There's a story in the Bible that really kind of, I think, brings this to light. In Luke chapter 12, verse 16, it says, "Then he told them a story." This is Jesus talking. He says, "A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, 'What should I do? I don't have room for all my crops.' And then he said, 'I know, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' And then in verse 20, here's where it turns around. But God said to him, 'You fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything that you've worked for?'" One, I got to tell you, anybody that talks to themselves and calls themselves my friend has got an issue. Okay, I'm just saying. A little leery of people that talk to themselves or talk about themselves in first person. But this guy, he's wrapped up in himself. He's saying, what am I going to do with all that I have? You know, I'll just build bigger barns and I'll get more for myself. I'll store it up. Because one day, you know, maybe I'll need it. But God's got a different plan. And God says, you know what, listen, it's not about you and it's not your plan, it's my plan. And so tonight I'm gonna take care of that. And then what's it all good for? I think some of us are building, we're plowing our fields and we're trying to get our fields bigger and we're trying to build bigger barns and we're trying to store stuff up without ever once thinking about what's it really all for. We've become preoccupied by those things and we've begun to worship those things and put those things above the true source of all that we have. And it's easy to do. It's one of those things that we all struggle with. But sometimes we let it go too far and we then put it in the place of God in our lives. And then we have a problem. See, the guy didn't say, look at all I have. Gosh, who all can I help? He said, no, look at all I have and how much more can I get? And so once we find ourselves there, then we have a problem. Greed knows no limit to hoarding or storing. Listen, this is not about how much you have. This is not about being rich. It's not even about having a bunch of stuff. See, we often think that greedy people are the rich people. Let me just tell you, I know a lot of poor, greedy people. You ever watch the show Hoarders? I mean, those aren't like rich people, right? They just have a bunch of stuff because they have a bunch of stuff. There's something in them that's driving them to just keep building that stock up. Some insecurity, some misappropriation of their affection is to stuff, and that's an issue in their lives. And so we've got to be able to do it. The thing about this is that greed totally erases the activity of God as this active source for your tomorrows. We begin to store up so much stuff for tomorrow that we've totally forgot about what today is all about. If the world melts down, can I just tell you that if the world melts down tomorrow, God's already there. He's already in charge. He already knows it's going to happen. And he's already provided all for you today that you need. If you'll simply look to him to be that source. God is good to us and has provided so much, but we often take it onto ourselves and think that it's all about us, that we have to do it. I heard a story about a little woodpecker that he was up in a tree and he was just pecking away at this tree. He's not minding what was going on. All of a sudden, a thunderstorm rolls up. As he's pecking away at the tree, this lightning bolt comes down, splits the tree in half. The woodpecker looks around at his buddies and says, "Man, I didn't know I had it in me." He thought he was the one who had split the tree. And for many of us, we're like that woodpecker. We think we're making this all happen. But I got to tell you that the source for all that we have, that everything that we do, everything that we can put our hands to is God. He's provided that for you. He's giving you talents to make it. You got to work hard. Some of you work through situations that I can't even imagine. You've put your hands down. Your hands have split to the bone because you've worked so hard, you know. And you've always given God the glory. That's awesome. But as long as you always give him the glory, always recognizing that he's the one who provides it. If we erase the activity of God's provision in our lives, we tend to lean towards self-determination. That we can do it, that we have to do it. If it's going to be, it's up to me. That's the attitude that we often have, but that's a dangerous place to be. And so how do we detect that in our lives? How do we look for greed and what's going on? Because, it's not about what we have, how much we have. It's not about, it's the attitude towards what we have. So how do we do it? I think there's two questions we can ask ourselves that help us determine if greed is evident in our lives. And some of you are going to fight me on this. Some of you are going to say, "But whoa, Ron, this is, you're off base. You're wrong." I think the scripture leads us to know that there's two ways to know if we're struggling with greed, and here they are. You can answer these two questions: how much have you given to God, and how much have you given to those in need? If you'll go back 6 months in your life and look at how much have you given to God and how much have you given to those in need, it'll pretty much tell you whether you're struggling with greed in your life and this self-determination, this self-importance, and this preoccupation with it in your own life. I think it's kind of time. I think you kind of need to look at your neighbor. Say, "You know what? It's getting hot in here." Right? And then you need to look at him and say, "Man, he's really preaching to you today." Because I think if we're all honest in the room, man, this is one of those that's going to get us. Because it is one of those struggles. Greed is here. And so how much have you given to God and how much have you given to those in need? It's really simple. Now, I know some of you heard me say, "How much have you given to the church?" Now, I didn't say that. I'm not going to say that. I think that is could be part of it, but that's not where I'm going with this. But how much are you giving to God and how much are you giving to those in need? Let's ask the first question. How much have you given to God? They they came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, how, you know, should we pay taxes to Caesar? You know, how much should we give to him? Should we do it? And you know what they were wanting him to say is, they wanted him to say no, right? Just like, you know, come and say, hey, Ron, do I have to pay my taxes this year? You know, because I'm a citizen of the kingdom. You know, I belong to God, not to Uncle Sam. You know, do I have to pay? Well, yeah, you got to pay, unless you want me to come see you at jail. You know, that's how that works. But they were asking Jesus, do we have to pay? And Jesus said, yes, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Even though he wasn't, you know, from there, he didn't, you know, they were trying to say, oh, he doesn't belong here. And all. No, Jesus said, give to Caesar what's Caesar's. On earth, you got to do what you got to do. But then he said, but give to God what's God's. You got to be willing to give both ways. There's both things have to happen. We got to be willing to do what we have to do here, but we also have to recognize what's most important and how we begin to be generous and let go of our own self-importance and our own feeling and preoccupation with stuff. The place that God wants us to give, though, is through the local church. I believe that. I believe that's even part of it. Now some pastors would stand up and they would just tell you that you have to give a tenth. The tithe is that's it. And I do believe that that is it. But I can't make an argument from the scriptures that that is the only it. Right? I got to tell you that even though the scriptures, you know, some people argue that, oh, those were supposed to be agricultural and all that, well, then it would really stink to be a farmer today because they'd be the only ones that had to give. I don't believe that it's just based on a certain item. I believe it's based on who we are, that there's an example set for us, and it's a tenth of what we make. If we don't farm, then we make a living somehow, and that's how we do it. He does say this, though. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, he says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open up the windows of heaven for you and I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. And then he says this. He says, try me. Try me. Test me. Try and put me to the test. God, the God of heaven's armies, the one who made us all and made everything that we see and owns it all, said, try me. Just test me. Just do what I ask you to do and see what happens. Now, we often want, you know, I know people that give thinking that all of a sudden their bank account's going to overflow, that, you know, they're going to win the lottery and all this stuff. Listen, that's not what he's talking about. The blessings that he's talking about are go much beyond that. One, the presence of him in our lives is a big deal. And that's a blessing that we certainly can't contain. But he says, bring it into the storehouse. I believe today the storehouse is the local church. I do believe that that's where we're to bring it. But I believe there are other ways that it goes. It just doesn't come for budgets and to make the everything balance out. I believe it's that when there's needs within the church, that it comes into the church and it goes out to help people where they need help. I believe it comes in so that there are organizations and there are other things that we help as a church that bless them and then they can bless other people. Our Operation Christmas Child is a huge piece of what we do. And we do that because that's where it comes into the storehouse so that we may then take it out to other people. And so there is a big deal to us being generous within the church. And oftentimes, the church is the last one to ever be the one that we even think to give to. And why is that? Well, why do we walk into church and feel like there's no obligation whatsoever to give anything? Is it that we don't hold value to it? Is it that we think it's just supposed to be? Listen, I've walked in with an attitude of I don't have to give a thing. And I got to tell you that at some point in my life, I realized, not just because somebody told me, but because I studied and I realized that I was wrong. I mean, we wouldn't walk into Belk's and put on an outfit and walk out the door. Right? I mean, anybody? And so often we think we can walk into the church and we can get spiritual help and information and everything that comes along with it, and we can walk out and never give anything back towards it. And so that's kind of a hard message, and if you know me, that's not a comfortable message for me to preach. But it's a truth. And so the tithe is what God has given to us, but listen, I just think that we ought to be willing to give something. And if the church was willing to just give something, because remember, the church is not the building, it's the people. That if the church was just willing to give something, that there are so many needs that we can meet. I'm not talking about paying salaries or anything. Listen, I would do this for free, I'm telling you. Some weeks I have. There have been lots of weeks that I've gone without getting a full paycheck or having to hold it off. And I don't know, is there anybody in here that does that at your job, where you just hold your check till money's there to pay it? Some, I'm sure, but it's one of those things that we do. And I do it, but not because I want to talk about it. I just do it because it's what's right. God called me to preach, and he called me to lead this church, and I just happened to be blessed enough to get paid to do it. So it's not about a salary. It's not about any of that. It's just about us being where we need to be spiritually to be able to just be generous and give. We handed out the budget the other week, and there were some red spots on it where there were zeros, and there were zeros there because we just didn't have the money to give it. And so what if we could fill those with things? Because listen, what they were like church planting. To plant other churches in places where people can hear the gospel and come and meet Jesus and be saved and changed for eternity. What if we could be a part of that? What if we could be a part of helping to grow people in their relationship with God by giving literature out in places? What if we could help by feeding people who need to be fed? We met as a lead team this week, and we're gonna host a tournament here, a fishing tournament in town. They're gonna come in and register here, and so they are they're gonna use our facility Friday night to register, and we're gonna feed them. Now, those guys probably have plenty of money to go down to and feed themselves, but we're going to feed them because they're going to be here so they can hear the gospel, and hopefully some of them are going to hear it and be changed by it like they have been in the past. And so we're going to feed them a meal. That's going to cost money. And the leader of our food ministry said, "What's the budget for that?" I said, "There is no budget." I said, "Just get it, and we'll figure it out." And you know what? Somebody went and got it. And at the lead team, you know what we did? We just pulled out money out of our pockets and we gave it, and the meal got paid for. There. See, that's how that works. That's not like a bragging thing. Because in all honesty, I did the old, "Oh, I don't have my wallet" thing. Because it had slid down to the side of my leg, and then God reminded me, "Oh, it's there." And so I pulled out what I had, and I gave it, and it's all good. Because sometimes it's right there. So I know that's one of those messages where it's like, "Well, wait a minute. You're just bragging about all the giving." I'm like, no, I'm not bragging. I'm just saying that it's an opportunity for us to be generous and give, because I want some of those fishermen to come and hear the gospel and be saved. I care less how many fish they catch. But I hope that some we are fishers of men, and we catch some men that night, and that they hear and they're changed by it. So that's how that works, that we come together. So I think it's important that we realize that. So I think we need to, maybe you've heard it in church before, that God can do more with your 10% than you could ever do with it, the holding on to it and how the whole thing goes. I think we need to come to the place of realizing that if we'll just open up and let God be God in our, even in our finances, that we can see things happen the way that it needs to be. So the first one is, how much did you give to God? And then the second is this: how much did you give to those in need? 1 John 3, verse 17 says, "If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person?" Man, that's tough, isn't it? I don't know if you've realized it and notice it like I have, but in Albemarle, man, there's so many more people asking for money lately. It's like really weird, or maybe I'm just noticing it more or whatever, but it seems like there are so many more, you know, in so many different corners of our city and our county. What do we do with those? Because let's be honest, we pull up to the stoplight and we see them standing there, and we even wonder if that guy's limp is real, right? Come on, you know who I'm talking about. Is he limping for real, or is he faking it to get some money? You thought it, and I thought it, and let's just be honest about it. But it's not up to me whether his limp is real or not. It's not up to me if he's really homeless or not. It's not up to me. It's not about me, and I'm not supposed to determine that. If God tells me to give, I'm just supposed to give. And he may not tell me to give to him. He has, and I have, but he hasn't every time, and I don't every time. I was at the in Food Line the other day. I walked out. I went to my car, and I usually park a little pretty far out. I put my stuff in my groceries. This guy walks up to me. And he just walks up and he stands there. He's there, and I know he's there, and he knows I know he's there, but I'm putting my groceries in. I'm just waiting on him to say something. So he finally says, you know, as I'm closing my trunk lid, he says, "Sir, I'm just down on my luck," and, you know, he went through his story with me. And I said, "What's your name?" He told me what his name was. And I said, "Let me ask you some questions, because you're asking me a question. Let me ask you some questions." And I just began to ask him about himself. And I just began to ask questions about his spiritual life. Because listen, if I'm going to give him some money, he needs to know that the most important thing I can give him is who lives inside of me. Now, I can feed him a meal, but man, if I can give him Jesus, then he can change, his whole life can change. And so I just began to ask him questions, and I got to know him. And, you know, man, I just asked him straight up, was he clean? You know, what was he going to do with the money? Now, I don't think I stepped out of bounds by asking him, because I care about him. I'm not going to give him money just so he can go and do those things. But I tried to find out what his real need was. And I took him at his word on everything that he said. And I gave him some money. I gave him a contact for me that he could call me anytime. I gave him a way to know, and I gave him a job opportunity for him to go check out, and we parted ways. Because, see, I had enough to buy my groceries, and I had a little bit more. So if I had enough, and I saw him in need but didn't do anything for him, man, where would I be? Now, I got to tell you, the next day, I was at the post office, which is a pretty good ways away. I'm sitting in there. I pull in. I'm on my phone. And I feel somebody standing at my door. I look out, and it's the same guy. And he's asking me, and it took him about 3 sentences to realize that he knew who I was. And we went, and so we had a whole different conversation, because I care about him, and I was honest with him, and I wanted to help him. But I feel like sometimes we're so afraid to even engage people that, one, we don't want to give financially to them, but two, we don't want to give anything else to them. And I think as a church and as a Christian, as a believer, if you've got Jesus in you, you've got to be wanting to give that to everybody. And so we have this opportunity that we don't need to be greedy with our finances, and we don't need to be greedy with Jesus. That he's not just for us. He is for everyone. And so we have opportunities to be part of what God is doing in our community, to help other people. And so, is greed something that you're struggling with? Look back. It'll answer itself to you. And some of you are going to say, it's going to be one of those things of, yep, I went to church today. There's another thing about them wanting my money. Listen, you need to understand, you don't have to give a dime here today. You don't have to give a dime here ever. That's not about this. My prayer is, though, that you will give somewhere, somehow, and let greed not be a part of your life in any way. It's not about what we get or don't get here. It's about the fact that we grow spiritually in a relationship with Jesus that allows us to be everything that he wants us to be. And I believe that he wants us to be someone who can give freely in every way that we can. We have to be willing to do that. So let me quickly just give you a couple ways to chase the light. Maybe this made sense to you, maybe it hasn't, but let me just help you, let me hopefully bring it home to you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, it says, "And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything that you need and plenty left over to share with others." I don't know if you recognize 2 Corinthians 9, 8, but we always talk about 2 Corinthians 9, 7. And here's what that says. It says this, that you must decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. So see, this isn't about pressure. If you feel pressure, that's probably the Holy Spirit squeezing on you for where you are. He says, "For God loves a person who gives cheerfully." He says, God loves somebody who gives. That word, if you really want to stretch, if you want to dig down in, says gives hilariously. Now, I have demonstrated that in this place before, and I'm not going to today. Those of you that are here, you're the ones that are laughing. But it says that God loves us when we give hilariously. That when we give and it doesn't feel like we're being squeezed, when we give and it doesn't feel like we've been begged for, when we give and it's just because we've been given to. When was the last time you just gave? Not because of any other reason, that you just gave because you knew it was the right thing to do. That you gave because you knew that it was an investment in what God may be doing in somebody else's life. See, that's how we're to give. It's not about, that's why I don't like getting stuck on the 10th, because then it becomes some rigid number that we got to give, that you got to give the whole $100.23 so that you give the 10th. I think you're greedy if you don't just give the 102. But anyway, that's a whole other story. What if we were just to give it because we wanted to see God do something with it? Whether it's our tithe, whether it's to somebody who needs it. Listen, I don't know about you, but I know people all around me that they just got needs. That you could just go buy dinner for them and have it dropped off at their house. They don't even have to know it's you. I know kids that don't have, they go home from school on the weekends. They don't have anything to eat all weekend until they get back to school for breakfast Monday morning. Your teachers know those kids. So why are we doing something about it? So why don't we just give freely to those kind of situations? I mean, here's what happens. We hold court. We hold court within ourselves and we say, are they innocent or are they guilty? Are they innocent of their, they made those bad choices and that's, we find them guilty. Because they're guilty, everybody else is guilty too. Maybe we just need to figure out whether we're guilty or we're innocent. Because I don't think we need to be judging people before we decide whether we're going to give or not. I think we just need to, is God telling us to do it or not? And if he does, let's do it. If he doesn't, then let's don't. But I promise you, there are some people that need it. And are we going to be a church that gives it? Or are we going to be a church that holds on to it? I think it's easy to be greedy as a church. But there are some churches sitting on bank accounts. And I just wonder, what in the world are you ever going to do with that? And they're not wrong. I just don't know if they've even thought about it that way. But I don't want to be that church. But I do want to be the church that can pay the bills that we have to pay and that we can feed the people we want to feed and that we can give to the people that we feel like we're supposed to give to. And that's going to take us all doing what God's called us to do together. It's going to take us all making sure that we overcome this greed and that we are able to do it. Here's two things that you can do to just chase the light when it comes to greed. Number one, give to God weekly. If it's not weekly, then you can put regularly in there. Just give to him regularly. Just give something. Give it to him. However you choose to do that. You can do it through URA Community Church. You can do it through, I don't care. Just do it. Wherever you feel like God leads you to do it. Give it to him. Let go of it. And then number two, look for ways to give daily. There are just people around you every day that you could give to. There are people within our church that we could help on a regular basis in some way. That there are people that just need it. If you want to do that, let me know. I'll give you ways to do that on your own. You don't have to involve me or anybody else. You can just do it, and I'd be glad to help you. But greed is one of those things that just grows and it grows and it grows and it grabs us and it holds on and it holds on and it holds on. Pride is one of those things that grabs us and holds on and holds on and holds on. Until we come to a place where we're willing to let go of it and we're willing to just let it be what God wants it to be, then we're going to find ourselves in a place that the windows are going to be pretty dirty. In fact, they might even be boarded up. So today, let's chase the light. Let's let greed be gone. See, this is one of those messages, probably ain't going to see many quotes on Facebook about this one. I mean, let's be honest. But I don't want quotes on Facebook. I just want us to get to a place. And I'm dealing with it myself. I'm making sure that I'm processing this through me as well. That we just let go and let God do what he wants to do. Not just, you know, with our time or our talents, but with our finances too. Because if we don't let go of it, it's going to hold on to us. So I want to encourage you today, let's clean the windows and let the light shine in. And let's don't be found with greed in our hearts. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for today. This is just one of those messages, God, that's just, it's difficult. God, I know that in your word that your son Jesus spoke way more about money than he did about heaven or hell. You know that it's a place that we struggle with, letting go of our stuff and our finances. And so, God, I pray that in this moment that you would clear from our hearts anything that's not in keeping with what you want us to say, anything that I may have said, God, that doesn't line up with what you want said. I pray that you'd forgive me of it and you would just wipe it from our memory. But, God, I pray today that we hear what you say in your word, that you encourage us to be generous. But God, if we have it and we got enough to take care of us, that God, that we should be willing to help those that are struggling in their own situations. That God, that we don't have to judge other people. We don't have to ask the questions. We don't need to ask if their deal is real. We just need to ask you if we really are supposed to help. God, may we be generous with our finances. May we be generous with our Savior. And God, I pray that today that as we just weigh it out, that God, that we'll just ask you what you want. God, today has just been one of those most uncomfortable, maybe the most uncomfortable message I've ever preached. If I'm just being honest, it's just been a struggle. God, I've been reminded all week of times where I just didn't trust you. I didn't trust you as my source. I didn't trust you as the one who held my future in his hands, God. I thought it was all about me and all about what I could get and what I could earn and what I could hold on to. God, I know what that feels like, and today I'm so thankful, God, that you've helped me in that. God, I know that there are times where I still want to revert back to that, and I'm thankful that, God, that you helped me. God, I thank you for how you love me when I'm cheerful about sharing with others. And so, God, today I just pray that you'll take that. Instead of us being infected by greed, that we'll be infected by your spirit in our lives to just want to be all that you want us to be, even in the area of money and stuff. So God, I just pray that you'll do whatever you need to do today in our hearts, God. Maybe today is just a day we need to realize we've been self-sufficient and held on without Jesus in our lives. And God, you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for greed as much as anything else. And he took the penalty of that. He took that death upon him so that we could be forgiven. And so today, maybe somebody's here and they know that that's just a place that they've struggled with. And today is the day they just need to be forgiven of it. And they want to ask forgiveness and to be set free. God, you made that possible through the death of your son Jesus. And not only that, but you let him be buried. And then on the third day, you raised him again so they could be set free from the penalty for all eternity. And so God, maybe today somebody needs to accept that. I pray that you'll move in this place, whether it's to accept Jesus and his salvation, or just to be forgiven for holding on to our stuff. And God, move in this place today. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.